Well, hello, good evening, and welcome to our Sunday evening broadcast from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church here in Portadown. We trust that as you tune in via either sermon audio or Facebook, that the Lord will bless you as you listen on in your own home, or perhaps you'll be watching the DVD a little later on when you receive it, and we trust that God will bless the service that takes place tonight to your heart. We're going to commence this evening by listening to or singing along, if you so desire, in your home. We're going to play a hymn. It's a lovely one. It's one of the favourites. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me. Tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, he shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. We'll listen to this hymn at the commencement of our meeting.
Thank you.
unite together in a word of prayer and let us seek the Lord for his blessing, his presence and his help. And do please continue to remember those who are sick and laid aside and some need special prayer, and we want to pray for them this evening. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do come into thy presence this evening in the name of the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ existed for all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. But we thank you that in the fullness of time, the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man. He took into union with his divine person, human nature. The body was prepared of the Holy Ghost for him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was born of her without sin, that he might be the Savior of the world. And Lord, we know that we can't come to thee in the name of a church, the name of a saint, the name of Mary. For, O God, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name Jesus, the person of Christ. And tonight we come in his name and upon the merits of his work, his perfect, righteous, sinless life, and the merits of his bleeding, sacrificial, and atoning death. And tonight, Lord, we praise thee and we thank thee that in Christ we are accepted and our prayer is heard because of him. And, O Lord, we ask this evening that in this gospel broadcast, for that is what it is, Lord, it's a broadcasting of a gospel service. We pray that thou will bless it to those who listen in and who listen on via the various means. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember thy church at this time. We thank you for the encouraging text this morning that we've set as our motto text for 2021, when Jesus said, I will build my church. And, O God, we thank you that neither pestilence, nor war, nor famine, nor any other thing can hinder or stop the Lord Jesus from building his church. We thank you that he builds it by conversions, making dead stones live. We think of the words that were spoken to the Pharisees, asking, it was put to the Pharisees that from these stones the Lord could raise up children unto Abraham. And so he could. And Lord, we think of how the stone symbolizes the dead sinner. Yet the Lord can bring the stones to life. He can give spiritual life and everlasting life to dead souls. And we thank you, Lord, that you do that when you save a sinner. And we pray that thou wilt add living stones into the church of Christ, even in these days. Remember friends and loved ones, neighbors, who are out of Christ and without a Savior. And it is our prayer that thou wilt bring them to the place of conviction of sin, where they will call unto God for mercy and experience the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We ask thee, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bless the services of the church. We know for another period of time we will be, Lord, having, as it were, online services. And we thank you for this means. We know that even a generation ago, this would not have been possible. So we thank you for the technology that allows us to preach and to play gospel hymns and have a soloist here, and people can sit at home and watch it live. And we pray that thou wilt bless these services over the next number of weeks. And we take a moment now, Lord, to pray for the situation in our land. We do believe that this pestilence is of the Lord. And we pray, Father, that in thine own time thou wilt remove it. And even, Lord, before thou dost, and when thou dost remove it, that thou wilt be pleased to use it to humble men and women, and that they might call upon the Lord to be their Savior. We ask thee, Father, that thou wilt remember those who are particularly sick. We think of those who we know, friends and members who have this virus. And Lord, we can think of those in our church and they have family members who are grievously ill. And Lord, in hospital, desperately sick with this virus. We pray that thou will draw alongside. And Lord, that thou will be pleased to grant a healing, strengthening touch. We pray, Lord, for those that have perhaps been in hospital and are now at home, that, O God, thou wilt strengthen them and help them, particularly over the next number of days. We ask thee, Lord, for the general population, that, O God, thou wilt help the doctors and the nurses and those who are treating sick patients. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt give help and strength in every situation. We ask thee, Lord, for the service tonight. We pray that thou wilt bless the ministry and song, the preaching of the word, and that there will be a word in season for each one that listens on. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt remember too the bereaved. We bring before thee the Campbell family. We thank thee, Lord, for every remembrance of George. What a joyful, happy Christian he was. Lord, what a change that it's making in his life. And we praise thee and we bless thee for a soul saved from sin, a life given to the service of God, and spent a period on the mission field. And Lord, as he has gone to his eternal reward, reunited with his dear wife and with other believers, joined the heavenly company of the redeemed. We pray that thou wilt comfort his daughter, his sons, his grandchildren, his many friends, and his wider family circle. And Lord, we pray that thy name will be glorified, and Lord, thou wilt be pleased to answer prayer. Continue with us tonight. We ask these things in the blessed and worthy name of Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read the scriptures at this point in our service. It's a short Bible reading tonight, and it's a very well-known Bible reading. In fact, it was read this afternoon at the funeral service. But we're reading again from Psalm 23. As you know, I was had a little bit of time off over Christmas and the New Year, and was thinking very much about what I should preach for a motto text when I came back to the pulpit, and also for the first gospel service back. And the Lord laid a verse in this psalm upon my heart for tonight. And so we just briefly read the 23rd psalm, but let us pay attention to it and consider again these lovely, blessed words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. Now, we want to make the announcements at this stage in our service. And we do welcome again each one who is tuning in, and we trust the Lord will bless you this evening. Could I ask you please to continue to pray for the circumstances in our land, in our country, and also for those who we know particularly to be sick and to need our prayers at this time. I did announce this morning that at a meeting of the presbytery, the general presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, that meeting was held via Zoom, an online app. That meeting on Friday night, the presbytery voted and passed motion to suspend public worship within our church denomination, and that suspension will be reviewed in February at the February Presbytery. So the meetings, as they continue each week, will be online. The full presbytery statement is on our Facebook page. And they are calling God's people specifically to pray and to pray about the matters that are facing us. We do know those of our congregation who have been afflicted by the COVID virus. We had a funeral this afternoon that was COVID related. We do know of other folk within our congregation who are suffering from it. I had text message this evening from one of our families to say that the gentleman's father is very seriously ill in Craigavon Hospital with COVID and is requesting prayer. So I want you to pray for that individual and indeed for others who we know and you may know as well. I'm deliberately making the announcement general this evening, but I'm asking you for prayer for our members and friends who we know to be ill, particularly with COVID, that you will pray for them, that the Lord's hand will be upon them, and that the Lord will heal them. And do pray that in the Lord's time, he will be gracious to remove this pestilence from our land and from the nations of the world. Could I also at this point just again express a word of sympathy to the Campbell and the Briggs families? George Campbell was a member of our church. He passed away in the early hours of Friday. The funeral was this afternoon. And to Marina and Paul and to the wider family circle, we extend our deepest Christian sympathy and trust that God will comfort them and bless them at this time. Now, the services this week on Wednesday night, there is the weekly, we normally have Bible study and prayer. There will be a Bible study and a call to prayer with prayer requests on Wednesday evening. That will be on the Facebook page, live on the Facebook page. So do please, if you can, tune into that on Wednesday evening. Now, what I'm about to announce next is new because previous shutdowns we've just directed the children to the FPC kids. But we are hoping on Friday evening to have our own online children's meeting. The session approved this on Wednesday night past. We were fairly sure we were going to have some sort of shutdown. And there will be a children's meeting from Bethany here on the Facebook page. So parents, please take note, Bethany Facebook page at 7 o'clock on Friday night, there will be an online children's meeting. And then for the Young People's Fellowship, Stephen is hoping to have a Zoom youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. He will be in contact with the young people at the early part of the week via WhatsApp or in touch with their parents to see they're interested and give them the details. And so Stephen will be in touch with you. Then on Saturday night, I believe the Reach are also going to avail of the Zoom account as well. And they are planning to have a Reach meeting on Saturday evening via Zoom. And any young people year 8 or above who are interested, if you could contact Jim Tinsley about that matter, and he'll get you the details in relation to that. The services next Lord's Day morning, 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Via the online outlets, and God willing, I will be the preacher at both services. Those are all the announcements tonight. We're glad this evening to have Mr. Nathan Crozier with us, and I'm going to ask him to come now. He's going to minister two pieces in song before we bring the Word of God.
Come ye sinners, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faith he giveth power through the mountains makes a way. Findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation, he is near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
It's a privilege to be here this evening to sing in these strange times we find ourselves in. This song that I'm going to sing tonight, the second song, is quite a new one to me, but it's a lovely gospel song, and the chorus, it's talking about 100 years from now, And it says, you will be somewhere forever. There is a place for the lost and the found. Will you be with the Savior? Will I see you 100 years from now? I trust and pray that tonight that you will be amongst the found, and that's the place that you will be in heaven with Christ our Savior, and not lost forevermore, 100 years from now.
A 100 years from now, we will all be gone. We won't argue then who was right or wrong. We will all believe far beyond a doubt. Where will you be 100 years from now? 100 years from now, we won't be concerned if we went without what we had on earth. Only what we did with the Son of God. Where will you be 100 years from now? You will be somewhere forever. There is a place for the lost and the found. Will you be with the Savior? Will I see you 100 years from now? 100 years from now, it will be too late to accept the Lord. You must choose today. Only God knows when that trump will sound. Where will you be 100 years from now? You will be somewhere forever. There is a place for the lost and the found. Will you be with the Savior? Will I see you 100 years from now? Will you be with the Savior? Will I see you 100 years from now? Will I see you 100 years from now?
We do thank Nathan for being with us this evening and trust the Lord will bless that ministry and song to each and every one. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and then we'll come tonight to the preaching of the gospel. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the service thus far. We pray that the ministry and song, the Bible reading and prayer, the listening to the hymn, I Have a Shepherd, that will all have been a blessing to each one. But now, Lord, for this most important time in our gathering, when the word of the Lord is proclaimed, we ask for thy special divine blessing to be upon it. For it is by the preaching of the cross that wins men to Christ. Unto those who believe not its foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And we pray that thou wilt work the preaching of the gospel tonight to the power of God unto salvation in some life or soul. Hear and answer prayer, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost to speak clearly, plainly, and simply about the gospel of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are, of course, wonderful themes in the 23rd Psalm. There are so many themes running through these six verses that it truly is one of the most blessed and well-known portions in all of God's Word. But I wonder, do you notice that the theme of the Christian life is there? Living for Christ. Verse 1, we could take it from those opening words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that really sums up the Christian life. The Lord is the shepherd. We are like the lost sheep. And the Christian is one who follows the Lord as the shepherd of their soul. For He gave His life for the sheep. And the Christian life begins whenever a sinner commences following the Lord. Do you remember what the Savior said in the early part of His ministry when He was calling His disciples unto Him, to Peter and Andrew and James and John? He said, "Follow me." And the Christian life begins when a sinner begins to follow the Lord. He recognizes that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the soul, that He died to save the soul, and the individual accepts and receives Christ and follows Him. And through the psalm, it speaks more about the Christian life. As the psalm goes on, it speaks more and more about what it is to be a Christian. It speaks about the Lord leading the believer, the Lord providing for the believer, the Lord correcting the believer, the Lord comforting the believer. Yes, if you want to get a glimpse of what it is to live the Christian life and the relationship between the believer and the Lord, then Psalm 23 is one of the best places that you can go to. A short summary of the Christian life. But it not only speaks and sets forth the Christian life, it sets forth the Christian's eternity. I'm thinking right at the end of this psalm where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's something only the believer can say. Not speaking about the Christian's life on earth. Goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life. And if you're not a Christian, then and you want goodness and mercy to fill your days, then you need to begin to follow the Lord. But in summarizing His life as days of mercy and goodness, He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the expression "the house of the Lord" can refer to a number of things. It can refer in the Old Testament to the temple. It was the house of the Lord. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to or into the house of the Lord." Speaking about the temple where the Old Testament believers and saints gathered to publicly worship the Lord. It can also refer to, in the spiritual sense, the body of God's people. Christ's people are likened to the spiritual building. We mentioned that this morning, the spiritual house, the house of the Lord. But the house of the Lord, I believe, is also a reference to the heavenly house of God, to heaven itself. I refer you to those well-known words in John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The New Jerusalem, heaven, the city of God, is known as the Father's house and the house of the Lord. And I believe that's the primary reference to it in verse 6 of Psalm 23. When his life on earth was done, after goodness and mercy had followed him all his days in this life, he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, it couldn't be said that we dwell in the church forever, the physical building, the material building, that we dwell there forever. You have to leave. You have to go and do your day's work somewhere else. Go to your own home. You can't dwell there forever, but you can and will. If you are a Christian, you will dwell in heaven forever with the Lord. Like the hymn writer said, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. And that's the believer, the Christian's eternity. And David addresses it in this psalm. The psalm has the theme of the Christian life. It has the theme of the Christian's eternity. But right in the middle of the psalm, the Christian life starts in verse 1. The Christian's eternity is at the end of verse 6, at the end of the psalm. And right in the middle, the psalm also speaks about the Christian's death. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Last year, 2020, and even now as we have entered into 2021, the nations have been reminded of the reality and indeed the nearness of death with a pandemic that is all around us. And as we enter 2021 with this threat of illness and death hanging over this province and indeed the nations, and we're reminded how uncertain life is and how real and how near death is to each and every one of us, we ask the question, how should a Christian view and face death? And I believe that the answer is found in verse 4, as the psalmist spoke not only in this psalm about the Christian life and the Christian eternity, he speaks about the Christian's death in verse 4. And how we should view and how we should face death is found in this verse 4. And that's really my theme for the evening. As we begin this year, we know not what another year may bring. We know not whether it will bring health or illness, whether it will bring life or death. And in the midst of this time in which we're living in, when there is a virus that is a threat to many, then we ask the question, how should a Christian view and face death? I want you to notice three things from this verse. I want you firstly to notice there is a recognition of death. The first word in verse 4 is the word yea. It's the affirmative. We would use the word yes. But in the old English, it was the word yea. You talk about your yea and your nay, your yes and your no. And this verse begins with yea or yes. There's an affirmative, there's an acknowledging, there's an agreeing or an accepting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the psalmist here is acknowledging and agreeing that he was passing through the veil of death. Now, David wrote this psalm when we believe he was just a young shepherd boy. And we believe that the valley was real. It was a literal valley. a place where the shepherd would lead the sheep from perhaps one mountain of pasture to another, and they came down into a particular valley, through that valley and on to another mountainside with pasture, and that valley, wherever it was, and for whatever reason, there was a valley that David would traverse that was known as the Valley of Death. Matthew Henry stated that it was probably named the Valley of Death because, like death, it was deep, it was dark, and it was dangerous for the shepherd and the sheep. And it reminded the shepherd of death, for they would go down into the valley, and man goes down into death. It would go down into the darkness, and death brings a darkness with it. That valley, there was a danger of death itself, and of course there is a danger in death for the soul, because there is the danger of losing your soul in the darkness of hell forever. And as David traversed this, or went past through this valley, it reminded him that in his life, even as a young man, we walk through and we live in the midst of death. And he recognized it, he acknowledged it, he accepted it. Accepted that in this world he was surrounded by death. You know, this world is often referred to and called the land of the living, but it may be better described as the land of the dying. Because from the child is born, from its youngest days, it is born in sin, and therefore it is under the curse, and all men will die. And from a child is born, it has a limited period of time on this earth, and the child begins the long march to the grave. Death is all around. And I wonder tonight, have you recognized and accepted that this world is a valley of death? And one day you will go down into that valley and experience the death experience. I wonder, have you recognized it and accepted it? As the psalmist did, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you accepted that death is certain? We must all needs die. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Death is absolutely certain. Yet death is unknown as to when it may come. It was Isaac who said to his son, I know not the day of my death. And how true that is. We do not know when the death angel will come for our soul. We can be stout and strong today, tomorrow turn to clay. Today we can be in our bloom, tomorrow we could be in the tomb, or certainly a preparing for it. Do we realize that we are not guaranteed a day on this earth? We know not what a day may bring forth. Death is certain. It is unknown. There are many who have made plans for today and tomorrow, the weeks that are to come, the months and the years that are ahead. Young people have planned the course of their life, what they will do this year, and then a gap year, and then an employment time, and then they'll do this, and they'll settle down, and all the rest. And for some, it has never materialized. It has never come. Because death has come so unexpectedly and unknowingly to them. Death is certain. The time of death is unknown. Death is an enemy. It's described as the last enemy in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last enemy is death. It's an enemy because it robs us of physical life. It separates us from all that we have and possess in this world. It is a cruel enemy. Yet David, as a young man, he could look at this world, and as he walked through that valley, he recognized, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of you accepted and recognized and faced up to the fact that one day you too will walk the valley of the shadow of death. But I want you to see, secondly tonight, there was not only a recognition, there was a resolution. Yea, he's in agreement. He acknowledges and accepts, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. As he faced death and he walked through that valley, he resolved that he would not fear the evil of death. Let me remind you this evening that death has and is a fearful thing. I'm thinking of those words in Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 14 and 15 that speaks of the mission of Christ, and one aspect of Christ's mission was that he might destroy death. He came to reverse the effects of the curse and the sin, and the curse brought sin into the world, and Jesus Christ came to abolish and to destroy death and him that had the power of death, and he did that by his death and resurrection, and all who are in him will receive the benefits of that victory at the resurrection when death shall be swallowed up in victory. But as he's speaking in verse 14 of Hebrews 2 of the work of Jesus Christ, Paul is speaking here of one of the aspects of Christ's work that he took upon himself, flesh and blood, that he took part of the same, that through death or by his death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver. He delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What Paul is saying here is that death has a grip on men and it causes men to greatly fear. I wonder, have you ever really faced up to death? Then your sin that has brought a great fear to your soul. For you know to die in sin would be to enter eternity unprepared. To enter eternity to meet the Lord in sin. To be sent away to that place where sin is to be chastened and punished and judged forever. That place the Bible calls hell. Jesus came and his work on the cross, this provision of salvation, means that he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death has a fear and a hold and a grip on men. I remember ministering when we ministered in southwest Scotland in Stranraer, and one of the men who came to the church, he'd a chap that worked for him, and this individual was a godless individual. He had no time or care for the things of God. Yet he took ill, suddenly ill. He took a heart attack. Thankfully, they got him to the hospital in time, and the doctors and staff were able to save his life. And that believer told me that when he visited him in hospital, he was seeking to witness to him, and he asked him a question. He said, "Did you not fear?" I couldn't repeat what the man told him in response, for it was vulgar and coarse language. But he indicated to that believer that he trembled. He greatly feared when he was in the midst of the chest pains and taking the heart attack. He greatly trembled and was fearful that he was about to die. Oh yes, there's a fear of death and it holds men in the grip of bondage. Let me say that fear came into the world as the consequences of the fall. In Genesis 3 and 10, we read of Adam. There was no fear before Adam sinned. But when Adam sinned and God came down to call him to account, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid. Sin has brought a fear of death, brought death itself and a fear that accompanied it. Now we say the man has a natural inbuilt fear of death. And at this present time, I believe it could be said that if death is slain its thousands, and it is, then the fear of death is slain its tens of thousands. COVID-19 has exposed the absolute terror that unregenerate men have in the thought of, in their mind, an early or an imminent demise and death. They will go to all lengths, and I am not saying, in fact, let me just be very clear here. We should follow medical guidance and medical advice to keep ourselves and particularly our vulnerable loved ones safe. But what I am saying is this, that this pandemic has exposed the terror that unregenerate men have in the thought of a premature, in their mind, a premature, imminent, and perhaps a difficult or painful death. But David, the psalmist David, as he faced it, and as a young shepherd boy walking through that valley, his heart and spirit were completely different. And so should every Christian's. Mark David's composure. Mark his complexion and his calmness and his confidence as he faced the valley of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death and the thought of death held no fear for David, and it should hold no fear for us who are saved. Now, don't misunderstand David's mindset here. He wasn't looking for death. He wasn't longing for death. But he didn't fear death. And I can happily say, I personally would like the experience of Joseph. You read the story of Joseph, and at the end of Genesis chapter 50, you discover that it tells us his great-grandchildren, I think it was Manasseh's Manasseh's grandchildren, Joseph's great-grandchildren, were brought up on Joseph's knees. The old man sitting in the chair and his great-grandchildren nursing them and on his knees. I think that every individual would say that. They would long and desire for a long and a healthy life to see the generations that are to come before they pass on. And I think we're all like that. That would be our request or our desire. But if death comes before then, and if our time appointed is before that experience, we experience those things, then we can say we do not fear death. Do we have that calmness, that confidence that David had? We can look death in the eye and say, I will fear no evil. Why could David say that? Because he was redeemed by the Lord. The Lord was his shepherd. The good shepherd would die for the sheep. The Old Testament sacrifices pointing forward to that time when the Lamb of God would lay down his life for his sheep, shed his blood to remove their sin and its guilt. Because David was redeemed and saved, he had no fear of death.
because he was reconciled to God, he had no fear of death. Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And if we die redeemed and reconciled, we have peace with God and are accepted by him. Therefore, death is nothing to fear. And he did not fear death because he was not only redeemed by God and reconciled to God, but he would be received by God. I think it was the psalmist in another place. He said, he will guide me with his eye and afterward receive me to glory. When the believer dies, they're received by God into the eternal kingdom of heaven and into glory. Therefore, there was nothing to fear. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone and you do fear death because you've never been redeemed? You've never had your sins forgiven? You are not reconciled to God, and if you were to die in your sin, you would not be received by him, but rather you would be banished from him into everlasting destruction in hell. Then tonight I urge you to look to the shepherd and the Savior that David knew and had, and give him this wonderful peace that in coming face to face with death, he would fear no evil. There's one final thought tonight we've considered together. A recognition. He was walking the valley of death. We've considered a resolution. He would fear no evil. Consider finally a reassurance. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As David led his few sheep through the valley of death, he was conscious that the Lord was with him. The Lord is Emmanuel, God with us. And the Lord is with his children at every stage in life. And he was with David, and because he was with David, it was another reason he wouldn't fear. He was conscious of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, Emmanuel, is with his people at every stage and every step of life. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. To his disciples, as he commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, lo, I am with you always. Paul, writing to the church in the city of Rome, in that wonderful 8th chapter, he said, neither principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, and he gave a whole long list. He said, I am persuaded that none of these things shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We can't be separated from the love of Christ as his children. He is with us in life. He is with us in death. And I close by reminding you of that story Jesus told, a true story, I believe, of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. What a contrast. It tells us the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. He died alone. He lifted up his eyes in hell. He felt alone, none with him. When Lazarus died, the angels carried his soul. Abram's bosom, heaven, paradise. I have no doubt the rich man's friends and his brothers, for he had 7 of them, they carried his body and they laid it in the best tomb that money could buy. His body was carried and laid in the tomb. But his soul was abandoned alone to be in hell. Lazarus, probably had no one to carry his body to a grave at all. The beggars' bodies were discarded in what was the common rubbish tip in those days outside the city. Possibly wasn't even buried. No one to carry his body, just tossed to the place where it would lay and rot. But a soul. The Lord sent his angels to carry his soul to glory. Because the Lord is with his people in their death. And therefore, we need not fear. What a reassurance to know that when the cold death dew, or the death dew lies cold on our brow, Jehovah Sekenu will be with us and receive us unto glory. As this year, there is still this fearful pandemic that threatens death. Let us face death. Let us face the reality of it and the possibility of it with no fear, because we are the people of God. May it please the Lord to preserve us with health, give us long life, and a blessed experience. But if death should come, then we will not fear, for we know the Lord is with us. We're going to conclude tonight by listening to a hymn in closing. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. We close.
tonight. I trust the messages today have been a help and a blessing to you. We will be on Wednesday night again on the Facebook page. We trust you'll be able to join us then next Lord's Day, sermon audio and Facebook again. Father in heaven, we conclude this night praying for thy blessing upon the preaching of the word. May men and women hear and heed the message. May thy people have peace and rest and contentment in believing in Christ. Lord, when it comes our time to walk that valley of death, thank God it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we will leave behind this world with all its problems and difficulties and sorrows, and opening up before us will be the gates of the eternal, perfect, holy city, where we shall enjoy the immediate presence of Christ and be with the saints and reign with Jesus forever and forever. Blessed tonight, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.